Today's daf, Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pechet, and that's because all of us fell into the pach today, so it's a good way to remember Pechet. And we're holding at the two dots, V'chein Shtei Gezuz Tra'ot. So now we've been talking about the porches that we've dealt with so many times. And we're talking about where you've got two porches, one beneath the other. Remember, one of them is offset a little bit, and they want to use the upstairs porch, put it down the refrigerator box, and the question is whether that osers, and we said, indeed, it does oser, and now we're going to explain in the Mishnah, we finally got to the Mishnah about it, so Rav Huna Amar Rav said, listen, this deal that it osers is only if it's within Arba Tvachim. Forget about how high the other one is, but how much derech avir does it require to be mishtavish? So if you've got to reach over for an area of tfor tfachim, which means out of your place, that by definition is a mokum, and you'd have to go through the air in order to do this, then as Rav said before, if it's more than that, b'mufleget el yona, then it's muteret. And that's, of course, he's quoting from Rav, and this is Rav l'shitote. Because Rav said before, ein adam oser chavero derech avir. Remember, this is part of an overall understanding of the interrelationship of varied levels of usages. So that according to Rav, even though normally we don't have relative usages, we either have something that is considered to be noach, in which case we'll give it to the one that's noach, or we don't. We don't have relative noach. However, when it comes to derech avir, there we said that Rav was made a, and he holds, you can't osser on somebody else. If the only way you can get into that rishus is by traversing through the air a space of four tefachim or more, that's not considered to be even in the running for ossering the other person. Anyway, now the question is legabe the halachas over here of, let's say, churva, and what exactly is considered to be your area? Because very often it happens, you use an area and nobody else cares, but it isn't really yours. We never really discussed that issue because we've always been talking about the idea of the ownership or the de jure. Suppose you don't really have ownership, but you're using somebody else's area and he never seems to complain. So Amar Rabba Amar Rabbi Chiya, where Rabbi Yosef quoted Rav Hoshaya, you should know there's a halacha of gezel on Shabbos. Now, this, of course, is sort of a borrowed term. But what normally is the din of gezel? Normally, the din of gezel is that if somebody walks off with somebody else's property, then he becomes, in effect, the owner of that property, which we call like a kinyan gezela. He's going to be chayev for its loss. He's going to be chayev for its damages and so on and so forth. Well, there's actually such a concept on Shabbos as well. So that if somebody owns a churva right next door to your chotzer, and you expand your use into that guy's churva, he never says anything about it. So if that's the case, you stole it from him, essentially. It becomes the equivalent of your area, and whatever eruv has been good for you is also good for the churva. Then the next statement seems to be saying the absolute opposite. The churva, furthermore, you should know, that a churva on Shabbos finally gets back to its owner. It's machzir lebalim. So even though you may get away with using this churva all week long, when it comes to Shabbos, that's going to be the clear-cut indication. Is it really yours or not? Because even though normally you don't have permission, when it gets to an Erev, it's going to come down to, all right, is it or is it not yours? Tell us the truth. Not his. Then you're going to have to get an Erev. And that means that it reestablishes who the real owner is, which, of course, is contradictory. Haguf Akashi, you just contradict yourself. First, you say, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbat. And that means that it's, for all intents and purposes, it's yours. Alma Kanya. Then you say, Churva Magzir Labalim, which means Lo Kanya. First, you say you are Kone, legally, so to speak, vis-a-vis Erev. And then you say, nope, the Erev actually is the final determinant. Who is the real owner? So Hakikama, therefore we have to say that we misunderstood it. And what it really meant to say is like this. Not Yesh Gazel B'Shabbat, meaning you can walk away with things because of the fact that you've been using it and be considered to be the owner, but rather Yesh Din Gazel B'Shabbat. That means you have to return what you stole when it comes to Shabbos. Again, obviously, we don't really mean stolen. So I'm just using the idea here in this borrowed sense. So that means that the continuation is an explanation of the opening. Ketzad, what do we mean when we say that yesh din gezel b'Shabbat? We mean that if you've been using somebody else's churva, then the churva is marzer to the balan because you are going to need an eruv for the Shabbos. Well, my rabba, when we heard that, we were very disturbed because our Mishnah seems to imply the opposite, because the Mishnah says that if you've got two gezuz tra'ot, and over there one is on top of the other, one's a little bit offset, the bottom one likes to use the refrigerator box that's hanging down from the upper gezuz tra, and it says over there, well, then they answer on each other, you got to have an Erev to allow you to take water from the both of you to take water. Now, if you're going to tell me that there is a din of gezel b'Shabbos, which means that for all intents and purposes, if it isn't really yours, then on Shabbos, you do not have any rights to it, and you do not aser another person's reshus, because basically that gezuz tra now puts up a red light on Shabbos and says, Ganav, get out of here. And if Ganav, get out of here, so then why are you asering on the other guy? I don't understand. So if you say that din, that yesh din gezel b'Shabbos, then why are the people on the upstairs aser? Because these ganovim are coming up there and using their refrigerator box. Amar Rav Sheshes, what do you think? That they're just using it without permission? Who do you think supplied the refrigerator box? It were the people on the lower story. They gave the refrigerator box, so they're shutafim in this whole thing. Therefore, this is not a case of a stolen churva. Because of that, they need an Erev, because it's legally their use too. They paid for it. I don't understand, says the Gemara, but then the Mishnah no longer makes sense. Because if it's talking about that they paid for the refrigerator box, so then even if they had made their own refrigerator box downstairs, they would still aser on the upper people because they belong there. So why would the Mishnah say only if they made for the upper people and not for the lower people? If you're telling me it was defined legally by Ashutafut, so what difference does it make if they make themselves their own refrigerator box? Answer to the Gemara, because why did they make their own refrigerator box? Ask yourself. Obviously, putting their own beautiful refrigerator box there is an statement that we want to have nothing to do with you, and we are not coming up anymore, ha ha ha, to your gezustra. We're going to be using our own refrigerator box, and we have finally arrived in the world, and therefore, they now have clearly made that statement. Quote, Ana b'hadach lo nechli, I don't like you, and I don't want to have anything to do with you, and therefore I will not be coming up there. Now, that's a siluk rishus, and anytime you do that, then you don't need an eruv. That's the equivalent of bitul rishus, right? So that's what you'd be doing if you bring in your own fridge. And now we're ready for Sir Richard. I can't even complain about the octave or the tonality on a day of Pach, let me tell you. So I'll take what I can get. Look, we're missing half of our people today. Everybody's miserable. Can you imagine? Okay. Chotzer shehi pechutami arba amot. So we've been talking before about bringing water up to your merpeset. Now, we already started discussing the question of whether if you bring the water off of your merpeset, can you pour the water, also wastewater, off of your merpeset? And then we had a machlokas about whether you needn't worry or you do need to worry. And as usual, the Gemara therefore already raised the issues mentioned in this Mishnah, because the Gemara, and this is always the Derech of the Gemara, we introduced the idea so that we've got a general sense of what we're coming up with. And we talked about the Mishnah that requires you to have a holding tank for waste. And this is that Mishnah. And there was a machlokas whether it's worse in the chotzer, which is why you need the holding tank, or whether it's worse when you pour it off of your porch because it's immediately swept away and goes out of the rishus of your refrigerator box. So chotzer shipchuta mi'arba amot, where you run into trouble is if you have a less than four amot. Now, using the word less than four amot, implies that what we're talking about over here is the surface area, as we'll see. So in other words, we have less than a 4x4 chatzar, which means that that is going to apparently affect the absorption rate of whatever sewerage we pour out there. So because of that, if you have less than 4x4, you can't pour out any waste water because it's going to immediately go out to Rosh Hashanah. And we saw yesterday that that is a problem. It looks like you're actually directly pouring into Rosh Hashanah. Only thing you can do is make a holding tank. So Elohim Kein Asula Uka, and the size of the holding tank would have to hold 2 saw of wastewater below the flow hole, in other words, the outflow hole. So, of course, once it goes over that level, it's going to flow out into the rishos. It needs to hold 2 saw, and that's because we estimate that the usage of the house for water over Shabbat will generally be 2 saw. So if you've got enough, you don't have to worry about the details. It's not the problem. But we certainly don't want it to appear as if there's no problem. Because if people think there's no problem, they might actually come to pour out their wastewater directly into the street, be over perhaps on an Issa D'Oraisa even, and they'll all be talking about the way that, well, these people pour it out. They don't seem to care. If it's clear that I had to make a holding pond, or a cesspool, whatever you want to call it, so then that is not going to happen. So it's not a question of for sure guaranteeing that there's not going to be any outflow. It's just that there should be a holding tank that will hold your standard use. Now, I don't care where it is that you put the holding tank. You could place the holding tank underground if you want it in your own chutzner. You could place it underground right outside in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The only difference is that if you do place it outside, you must make certain that it's covered, because otherwise it's not going to. Now, why? I mean, one reason is very simple, and some actually take the Mishnah just to be saying this, that you are responsible, obviously, for making certain that nobody's going to fall into the uka. I mean, that's sort of a given. So that even though we're going to see what the din is, but sometimes you're allowed to put junk up, you're certainly not allowed to open a holding pool of water. So precisely why you would need to cover it if it weren't for that is because usually you wouldn't have 10 tefachim in the holding tank. 10 tefachim is quite deep. And if it had 10 tefachim, fine. So then it would be Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't need anything on it. So what we're assuming is that if you're going to have anything that's less than 3 tefachim, and let's imagine that it's fall and the leaves are filling up the uka, then it would become part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you might not even notice. Because of that, the covering, according to some, is a logistic requirement to keep out falling leaves and other dirt. So that may be a possibility. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, if you've got a beev, so a beev is a sewer pipe that is covered, it's kamur. So you have a sewer pipe that is kamur, and it runs 4 amot into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, away from your house. Now, Rashi understands this to be because the normal width of the sewer pipe along 4 amot would mean that we would have the equivalent of the 4 amot absorption area that we would have had in a 4x4 chatzar. Others learn that the main point over here, Rabbi Shmuel brings this, Stosis brings, the main point is if it's 4 amas running out away from your house, then we're not worried about people believing that you're pouring anything directly into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because something that's flowing out of a large sewer pipe, nobody really connects to particularly any particular person pouring into it. And therefore, there would be no chashash over the whole thing. After all, was a gezerah. So once you have a beev, then you'd be allowed to directly pour water into it on the Shabbos, and that would be because, I mean, lechora, why not? It's supposed to be able to absorb before it goes into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and right now it's covered, and it's in its own makom ptur, so there's no problem. And even in the rare event that there would be, so it would be so overloaded, it would go out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's not going to be an Isser, really an Isser D'Oraisa. It was, you poured out without an intent to get it there, and it's indirect, and it just ended up continuing to flow. So there really wouldn't be any chiyuv, so we're not so makbid. Tain is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But the Chachomim say, you're never allowed to pour directly into something that runs into Rosh HaRabim. I don't care, even if you've got a roof or you've got 100 amma long chotzer, and it's going to run along the entire edge of this long way, you still can't pour directly into this beef, even though it's got 100 feet and it's going to be all absorbed by the time you get there usually. The point is that if you pour it directly in there, so then it's going to look as if you're pouring into Rosh HaRabim. And people are not going to make the differentiation in their mind. Well, it was only agav and so on. And they'll think that you're allowed to pour into Rosh HaRabim. What you are allowed to do is you could pour it out on the roof, and then the roof will drain out directly into the drain pipe. Yes, but that's, again, because you're not doing it right into the opening of the drain. So let's imagine a case where you have a chotzer, and next to the chotzer, you have this pergola. And now the pergola is not really the area where you use, but it doesn't matter. You can add the surface area of the chotzer together with the area of the pergola, and then you would have a total of 4 amas, and then you don't need the ukah, because we said once it's 4 amas, there's not a problem. And the same thing would be true, and that's not clear how we understand the word the same thing to be true according to this. There are other approaches that change the meaning of the Mishnah. The way we have it, we should take out the word v'chein. That's what some of the v'farshim suggest, that v'chein must be a mistake according to Rashi's pshat. So, shtei diutot ze keneged zo. So, let's imagine that you've got two people living on a second story facing one another. The chotzer between them is less than 4 amas, and therefore you need to make an ukah. And some of them, meaning one group, made an ukah, and the other group did not make an ukah. So then only the ones that had made the ukah are allowed to pour out water into their chotzer. The ones that did not make the ukah are not allowed to pour water into their chotzer, as we'll see the explanation soon. Ask the Gemara, why is there a difference between a 4x4, assuming it is 4x4, we'll see, but a 4 amos chotzer and a lesser size chotzer, where the bigger one doesn't require a holding pond, but the smaller one does. So why is it mutter to pour directly into a chotzer without a holding pond if it has 4x4. On my rabba, well, the idea over here is that the normal usage, we assume, of water per capita is 2 sa'a. So you are generally going to use adam asui listapek 2 sa'a of mayim every single day. Now, if you only have an area of 4 amot, then remember that in those days, they used to be mezalef mayim. They used to try to get the area settled so that it wouldn't be dusty, and that way they would have a smooth floor to their chotzer, and they would be able to use it for bringing in people, making a picnic, and so on. So bar ba'amot, adam rotze lezalfan. Once he's got an area of these 4 amot, so then he wants to be able to use that chotzer, because 4 amot is a nice size chotzer, assuming it's 4x4, and it's nicely usable for a picnic, and he can invite the neighbors in. So once he's got a nice chotzer, he would like to actually make it nice, keep it nice, and spread the water properly so that there's no dust. That's the reason. Mashenkein, if the chotzer really isn't very usable because it's pachot mi-arba, so then what's it going to do with it? It's too small to even invite anybody in. So there, you'd rather just pour out the water so it doesn't get in the way. So then shofchin. So ida avid ukashori. If you make a holding pond, fine. So then we're not worried. But if not, we're usher, because basically the guy wants to get it out of the way over here. And because of that, the chachomer were metakein. Since you want to get it out of the way, make yourself a holding tank. That way you won't pour directly into Rosh HaRabim. Rabbi Zera says it has nothing to do with what you want to do in the chatzar. It has to do with the surface area's potential for absorbing water. It's a completely different issue. So Rabbi Zera says if you've got 4x4, then you have enough surface area to absorb those amount of water the shtei sa that you would use in the day. If it's less than 4x4, then it's not going to be absorbed. That's all. Is there a practical difference? Of course there's a very big practical difference. Because basically, according to Rabbah, the point is that I need to have a nice, usable chatzar. So if I have the same amount of surface area, it's not going to be the same to Rabbah, because, great, you're telling me I've got 4x4 surface area in a little strip 2 feet wide. And what exactly am I going to do with that? I'm going to invite people into my 2 foot wide strip. So therefore, I will not use that water for being mizaleh, for settling down the chatzar, because I have nothing to do with this chatzar. So we're back to its being the equivalent of a chatzar that requires an ukah, even though it has the surface area. Mashenkein, I'll leave it to Rabbi Zera, where it's all a function of, is there enough area to absorb that kind of liquid? So what's the difference how it's shaped? The important thing is that I've got 4x4. Now, question is, how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah talks about where you've got a chatzar with a pergola next to the chatzar. It said you can be mitzarif them for arba amot. Now, I'm assuming over here that off to one side, I've got my pergola, right? But then it doesn't mean that it created the 4x4. It means that I've got a 2x8. I've got my same small chatzar, but I'm extending it into the pergola. Now, that only works according to Rabbi Zera, because Rabbi Zera says, look, I don't care. All I care about is the surface area. Put together the surface area of 2x4 of the chatzar and 2x4 of the pergola, and now you've got 4x4, and that's the point. So according to him, this makes a lot of sense. According to Rabbah, it doesn't make sense because I should need an ukah, and therefore the Mishnah seems to be coming bedafka to address this point, says Rabbi Zera. Nah, come on, don't jump to conclusions against Rabbah. I mean, you could, according to Rabbah, it would be talking about that the pergola is running across the entire length of the chatzar and thereby doubles its width. So it's now 4x4. Okay, Tashma. So let's see if we can bring a raya between these approaches. From a braita. The braita says, a chatzar she'ein ba arba amot al arba amot, ein shofchin letocho mayim b'shabbat. Now over here, it specifies 4x4. We didn't hear 4x4 before. We just said 4. So this seems to imply that, and it says less than this, doesn't have 4x4, ein shofchin letocho mayim b'shabbat, which appears to be saying, even if it's got an awful lot of surface area, it doesn't have the appropriate shape for what it is that we're talking about over here. If it doesn't have the appropriate shape, then you're, like what Rabbah said, you're not going to be interested in using the water there. And because of that, we're afraid you're going to pour it out. And because of that, we make ourselves the holding pond, right? So Bishlam el Rabbah, this only makes sense according to Rabbah because it's talking about the shape. And according to Rabbi Zera, I couldn't care less about the shape. I only care about the area. So Bishlam and the Rabbah, this makes sense. Yes, but according to Rabbi Zera, it does not make sense. Says Rabbi Zera, now hold on a minute, guys. Did we not have a machlokas in the Mishnah about whether you're allowed to pour directly into a sewer pipe? Yeah? Okay, analyze that for a moment and consider the implications, okay? Hamani, the author of this braita, which I agree is obviously going according to Rabbah, but that's because it's the Rabbanan who hold that you're not allowed to pour sewerage directly into the pipe. Why? If it's got the requisite absorption rate, why not? So apparently absorption rate is not important to them. Then there's, okay, so what is important to them? Why isn't it the same as pouring it directly to your chatzar? I'll tell you. These Rabbanan buy into Rabbah's approach that the only time that we allow you to pour directly is where there's a very important reason for you to keep the water here because you want to be able to use it in order to make the chatzar more usable. And that, obviously, you do not have any interest in a sewer pipe. So, fine, according to those Rabbanan, I agree 100% they buy into Rabbah. Was I talking according to these Rabbanan? I was going like the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is Dafka Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says you are allowed to pour it directly. And why? Because you have the surface absorptive area, and that's all that counts. So I was explaining the Mishnah. Alib the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I don't care if it's 4x4. I only care that it's 16 square amas on the surface. That's all I care about. Why? Why? What forces Rabbi Zera? I mean, you've got a shita in the Mishnah that says the Rabbanan, Dasa Rabbi, they say that obviously there's another factor. It can't just be absorption. So, I mean, why would Rabbi Zera try to shoehorn the Mishnah into Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Shita instead of just admitting he was wrong and that Rabbi's approach is right? Or my Rava, for a very good reason. He, Rabbi Zera, looked carefully at the Mishnah and said there's something wrong with the Lashon of the Mishnah. Because why does the Mishnah say the words, something that is less than the requisite 4 amos. I mean, that's not the point. The point is a chotzer that doesn't have 4x4 amos. If you tell me less than you're talking about, and you don't give the full dimensions, so then what you're implying is that we're talking about area, not shape. If you don't have, therefore, the correct area, which is what I'm saying, so that means that the Tanakhama is talking about area. Now, if Rava wants to start talking about shape, then that's all very nice, but not in the Mishnah. There would be such a shita, and it's indeed reflected in the Braita, but that is going according to the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because otherwise it should have said, Chatzer Shein Ba Arba Amot Al Arba Amot. I got to assert then that the Mishnah is Shmamina. It's going Alib Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Shmamina, and that's why I explained it this way. Well, how can you say the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov if the Mishnah introduces Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov as a dissenting opinion at the end of the Mishnah? I mean, the Sefer introduces Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov with the sewer pipe. So doesn't that mean that the Reisha is not Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? No. The Mishnah is a little bit misleading, I agree, says Rabbi Zera. But you got to understand, the entire Mishnah is clearly reflecting. Look, I showed you the language. It's clearly reflecting the Das Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The thing is that you're right. We do need to insert a little piece into the Mishnah so it makes it consistent with the entire thing being Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And this is the way to read it. I would say like this. It's Chisuri Mechaz V'Ochi Katani. You should say, a chotzer which is less than 4 amas, don't pour water into it on Shabbos, which is mashma, that if you do have the correct area, that it's okay. Why is the correct area okay as opposed to the shape? Then you add in the word shin. She, because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that you are allowed to pour directly into a beef kamur mishun sarabim because it has a proper absorption area, and therefore shofkin atochumayim b'shabbat. So obviously, Rabbi Eliezer holds that as long as you're pouring into a surface area that will absorb what you're pouring, you don't have to worry. And that way, the entire Mishnah, it actually makes sense. Like why we already suddenly introduced the idea of the beef and the kamor. Now everything makes sense. Okay, so now let's take a look at the din of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov about the covered sewer pipe. So we have a biv kamur, and he says you're allowed to pour directly into it, right? Now, the Mishnah is actually, even according to the Chachamim, who say, no, you're only allowed to pour outside of it, let it drop slowly into the sewer pipe. That is all. Not going aliba de Chananya, because Chananya learns, even if you have a gag mea ama, you cannot pour into an area that is made to flow out through a pipe. Lo yishpoch, you cannot pour wastewater even far away, because once something is constructed in a way that it's meant to flow out into a pipe, like a roof doesn't have any absorption space. It's all concrete or whatever. Lo sufisha inagaga sui livloa, a roof is not made to absorb. On the contrary, a roof is made to, as efficiently as possible, to let the water flow away. So it's made lekaleach. So therefore, according to Chananya, you wouldn't even be able to pour it in a place where there's no absorption available, which nobody said. Even the Chachamim disagreed with in our Mishnah. Now, Let's talk about a new halacha, because right now everything was basically binary. Either you're going to make a nuka or you're not going to make a nuka. We never offered you an option of a smaller holding pool. It was a Beit Satayim or bust, right? But now the Braita says, when do we say that we need a din of a uka that's only biyamota chama? So this is where the chotzer is basically dry, and there you would want in a small area that you can't use for anything else and or that doesn't have the correct absorption, which is the machlokas that we had. So then you want to make sure that the water doesn't really mess up your chotzer by making it all muddy. But if we're talking about in the emota gishamim, it makes absolutely no difference. You can pour as much as you want, and it makes no difference. You don't have to worry about what it looks like. Why is that? Omar Rava, why is that? Because the guy couldn't care less one way or the other. I mean, if you're talking about in the middle of the summer, in a non-rainy season, so then people want to make sure that if it's a small chutzner, that you don't have a mud pond outside of your front door because you can't use it for anything else. So over there, you want the water to move out as quickly as possible, and therefore we make our gezerah. Maybe you'll pour it out and so on and so on. It looks like you're pouring it out. All of the various issues that we were concerned about before, according to the various Rishonim. But over here, the guy couldn't care less. Adam rotzer, that means he doesn't care. He doesn't care. She balu mayim bimekomam. He doesn't care if the water stays right there. But it's going to be a muddy mess. Let me tell you something. It's a muddy mess anyway, so I really couldn't care less. Well, I'll buy it. But that's not true. Because how about in the case of the Mishnah, where we're talking about you've got the long sewer pipe, right? And over there, a person is perfectly happy that the water should stay in the sewer pipe. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, he couldn't care less. So basically, there, too, he couldn't care less ever. That doesn't matter whether you're talking about summer or winter. It doesn't matter. He couldn't care less. I don't care where the sewerage goes once it gets into the sewer pipe. So why are we concerned over there? Why do we say lo yishpoch, according to the Rabbanu, you're not allowed to pour it in there? It's the same as pouring it into a small chotzer. You said if the guy doesn't care, so then we don't have any concern. Okay, pour it into the sewer pipe then. How can Rava say such a thing if the Rabbanan say beferish that you're not allowed to do it? Says Rava to Abaye, look, in the case of the chotzer, during the emota gishamim, exactly what are you nervous about? You tell me, lamai nechashle, what are we worried about? He's going to be, what, mishum kilkul chatzera? That he, bedavka wants it to go out into the Rosh Rabim because it's going to make a mess. I've addressed that. Hamikalkal of Akaima. It is a mess. So there's no point in avoiding the mess. If it's because you're worried that you want to make a gzera shema yomrutzi no rosha ploni mikaleach mayim, that if people see water running out, a drain into his, right out of his rishos, into rishos harapim, so they'll say, oh, look at this. This guy is pouring water directly into rishos harapim. All drain pipes are leaking water the whole time because they have the constant runoff of rain and residual water that's gathered in puddles and so on. Nobody's going to think that. So stam tzinorot or mekalchim mayim, just because you see water running, you're going to start tracing it back to who, what, where, and when. Masha Inken, where we're talking about, you've got this sewer pipe over there pouring the water into it, straight into it. If it's going to come out of that pipe, even 10 feet away, like, where's all of this water coming from? Which, by the way, is people's reaction. I mean, like, what the heck is going on? All of a sudden, tons of water in the middle of summer. Must be that this guy is throwing his water directly into the Rishus HaRabim, in which case they might think maybe you're allowed to get rid of waste in the Rishus HaRabim. Over there, we make the Gezerah. Omer of Nachman, let me explain something to you, okay? You think, again, that there's just a new binary, Yemota of Kishamim, and Yemot HaChama, and small chutzner and big chutzner. Now, it's not that easy. The point is like this. During the Yemot HaGeshamim, what the Bright is basically saying is not that you can get away without any type of holding pond. So if you're talking about the Yemot HaGeshamim, so then if you've got a full-size holding pond, and that means it's two sa'ah beneath the outflow valve, right? So then this guy would be allowed to pour his normal two sa'ot of water into the chatzer. And it does not mean, we already saw, Tosis points this out, we already saw, there's no limits, it's not really the two sa'at. We're just saying that for all intents and purposes, that's how we set it up. You're going to pour, if it's full, you poured more, whatever, it doesn't matter, because that's just not anyone's intent, and it's not standard. Okay. But let's say that you made a half-size holding pot, so it only holds one sa'at. So if you're talking about the rainy season, you're allowed to pour out one sa'ah of water. And there you have to be careful not to overload your cesspool. But b'yemot hachama, if it's machzik sa'atayim, you get the sa'atayim. But if it's less than that, you get nothing. So that means when we're talking about if you made a pool of an ukah, which is sa'atayim, then you're allowed to pour out water. That's referring to the b'yemot hachama. But if it was Yemot HaGeshamim, you wouldn't have needed the Uka to be necessarily two. You'd only need it to be two in order to pour out as much as you want, but you can always fill it up till the top. Well, I understand. This makes no sense. Very arbitrary. I mean, if you're telling me that the idea is I'm allowed to fill up my holding pool, what's the difference whether it's Yemot HaChama or Yemot HaGeshamim? So be Yemot HaChama also. Why can't I, if I've got a holding pool of a saw, why can't I fill it up to the top? Native lay saw. Why not? Well, that's a gezeira, because since the normal usage is two saw, so what, the guy's really going to sit out there and he's going to check his overflow valve all the time? I mean, Richie's got himself this whole fancy electrical contraption. At the moment that it reaches the overflow valve, it starts buzzing, then his wife goes crazy, then it's a disaster. But I mean, who's going to risk that kind of thing, right? So normally, we're concerned that he's going to put in more, because that's what he usually uses. So because of that, we answer completely. So you drive me nuts. So then the same thing would be Yemot HaGeshamim. I mean, you're telling me that I'm unable to keep track of how much I'm pouring in. So what's the difference if it's during Yemot HaChama or Yemot HaGeshamim? I asked you for a clear explanation of a difference, and instead you give me something that would apply across the board to both of them. So I still don't know the difference. That's because what are you worried about if it's Yemot HaGeshamim when everything is wet, right? You think that the guy's going to be worried about getting his chotzer all ruined, and because of that he wants it to go into Rosh Hasharabim? He couldn't care less. Because of Yishum Kilko and the Kalko of Akaime. If it's because of the Gezer that people are going to say, hey, look at all the water pouring out over here, Shema Yom Ratzinosha Ploni Mekanehmai. As I explained to you before, all the pipes are dripping in that period and stomps in Rosh Hasharabim. Omar Abaye says, Abaye, look, if that's the idea that we don't really care if you've got some runoff, then it doesn't matter how much you pour. And you shouldn't think that we're supposed to, like, at least aim to use our sa'atayim. I don't care if you've got a kur, you got two kur. I want to talk about 30 saw, 60 saw. The bottom line is, we've already established once you took the correct precautions, then we don't really have a direct concern about this case of people being learning from it the wrong thing. Then we talked about two windows on opposite sides of the chatzer, people in a second story, and can they pour out their water into that chatzer? Amar Rava, when we say over here that only the ones who made the uka can pour out water, I'm talking about even if they had made an eruv. Even if they made an Eruv, they still, so there's no issue of carrying, but they're still not allowed to pour the wastewater into the cesspool that was built by the neighbor. So Omar Abaye, I don't understand why. Is it because there's going to be a lot of water? Because now we've got extra people and they didn't make their own? I thought we said we don't care. V'yatanya, achasli uka, achasli gistra, brecha, reva. I don't really care whether this thing is a professional kind of cesspool or whether it's just a gistra, meaning a gigantic broken pot of cheres that used to be used as maybe a boat's, Sfina Alexandrite, and now you're using it as your holding pool. I don't care if it's your old boat, and you're using your boat as your holding pool. The bottom line is, I don't care how full they are. I don't care if even before Shabbos they were already full. You're allowed to continue to pour water, because as long as the point is that whatever flows over is part of an overflow from a holding pond, it's fine. So then why, if we're not worried about overflow, why are we worried about the neighbors? It doesn't make sense. What Rav is saying is impossible. There's no way out of this. Look, we obviously had Rava wrong. Okay, I'll tell you what Rava really said that could make sense. When do we say that the other neighbors are not allowed to pour water out? That's only if they don't have an Erev. But if they had an Erev, then since they're allowed to carry into the Chatzar, so then they're also allowed to pour into the Chatzar. No, and if they didn't have an Erev, why can't, what is that? What does the Erev have to do with indirect water that's going to flow into the other neighbor who made the cesspools cesspool? On Rav Ashi, nothing really, but it's gzeira. Because look, the cesspool is on one side of the chutzner next to the guy whose windows by the cesspool, right? The people on the other side didn't make a cesspool. So you're saying, okay, but it's just going to leak in there. I mean, really, do I feel comfortable about letting the water run off of my porch and make its way to his cesspool? No. So what will I do? What I'm probably going to end up doing is carrying out the wastewater in some kind of container and dumping it down into my neighbor's cesspool and thereby basically end up carrying. That's the problem, and that's exactly what it is that we want to avoid. And therefore, we can now comfortably be hadron alach ketzad mishtatfim, and yes, we can now comfortably be hadron alach ketzad mishtatfim, now that we've done. Excellent. So what we've got, therefore, is a clear-cut indication, finally, about how it is to make that Erev, exactly what it is that requires the Erev, where it is that we put the Erev, and how it is that our Erev can affect separate porches, separate areas that one is using with Rishus, without Rishus, through a Churva, whether I get a right to keep things that I had before, and whether there is any kind of way to deal with water, except with the full refrigerator box story, whether that's only for input, is it also for output, and at what point I need to worry about outflows of water from a chutzner of different sizes, different times of the year, with or without an Erev, all beautifully expressed in Richie's wonderful words of Hadron Alach Ketzat Mishtatfim.